Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. When you think about a Native American woman who played a big role in the history of frontier America, naturally, you think of somebody other than Marie Dorion. You think of Sacagawea, of course, and Sacagawea got a lot more press, but Marie Dorion's story is actually more dramatic and arguably more influential on the history of the state of Oregon, at least. This story was first published on October 29th of 2009. Here we go. Ask most people who the most important Native American woman involved with the colonization of the West was, and you'll likely get an instant reply, Sacagawea, or Sacagawea, depending on how you were taught to pronounce her name. Sacagawea was vital to the Lewis and Clark expedition, it's true. And she had a picturesque name and a fetching portrait on that ill-starred brass dollar coin that came out a few years ago. But another Native American woman, with the much more mundane name of Marie Dorion, Dorion, maybe. It's a French name, of course. She had a much greater impact on Oregon, though, and a lively story to boot. Dorion was married to a man named Pierre, whose extraordinary skills as a scout were matched up with an extreme and violent temper. He's reputed to have once nearly scalped his own father in a bar fight. Of course, that's a rumor, so we can't really know. All we can extrapolate from that is that he's the sort of fellow about whom rumors like that arise, whether they're true or not. Well, when Pierre was hired in St. Louis to guide the Astor Party to Oregon in 1811, he was given a $200 advance and sent home to get ready. Homeward he went to tell his wife all about it and about his plan to make them even more money. Here's the deal. He would pocket the $200 and then slip off quietly in the night and go to work for someone else, doubling his money. Before he got home, though, there was $200 in his pocket, so he stopped off at some watering hole to celebrate first. When he got home, happily and boozily excited about this scheme, he met a buzz-harshing welcome from his wife. Absolutely not, she told him, you will do nothing of the sort. Marie told her husband that if he had engaged the family's word to work for the Astorians, they would do it. Stealing $200 was not an option. Pierre's anger, amplified by the liquor, rose and he attacked and struck his wife. Peltier's book doesn't give details of this blow, whether it was a slap or a punch or what. But either way, Marie responded by grabbing a club and knocking Pierre unconscious. While he lay there, she gathered up all her necessaries, collected the couple's two young sons, seized what was left of the $200 for safekeeping, and walked out. When Pierre woke up, all by himself in a cold and empty house, he found his options sharply reduced. So apparently he decided to go ahead and honor his promise after all, and went to meet up with the party on schedule. Meanwhile, Marie, with the couple's two toddlers, 4-year-old Baptiste and 2-year-old Paul, lurked in the bushes watching. Once she determined that Pierre was going to honor his promise, she reappeared and calmly resumed her wifely role, as if nothing had happened. One thing would never be the same again, though. As Gulick put it, quote, there is no record that Pierre Dorion ever attempted to beat his wife again. Marie Dorion's experiences on the trek to Oregon and after will have to wait for a future column. They were many and varied and pretty harrowing. By the way, a writer from Eastern Oregon named Jane Kirkpatrick has written 3 novels about Marie Dorion's life. It's called the Tender Ties Historical Series. I haven't read them, but I hear good things about them. Well, that's today's show, and before I cue up the outro, I just want to remind you that I will be appearing at the Jack London Bar in Portland, corner of 4th and Alder Street, in the basement of the Rialto Pool Room, to do a live, free history show for about an hour, talking about the Ku Klux Klan in Oregon in general, and Portland in particular. And I hope you can make it to that. For more details of it, I've set up a redirect at offbeatoregon.com/Jack London. That will take you to the Facebook invitation page. Hope to see you there. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/CC. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.